I stood here this morning, and as I stood here this morning, I was begging God to send His Spirit and to allow His Spirit to move freely as I tried to proclaim His Word. And then after finishing both messages, I sat there and I said, God, I thank you. I thank you. But then this evening, as I was putting the final touches on the message for tonight, I realized that God wasn't through with me yet. I realized that God still had a message for those that would return this evening. And so I'm asking you tonight to prepare your minds, to prepare your hearts. You see, God led me to a passage. And the passage is rich because on one side of the passage there is surviving, and on the other side is thriving. And I want you to see the keys that just absolutely ooze from the passage as God takes His people from surviving to thriving. And so engage your mind. This is one of those messages that I would love to encourage you. If you have a pencil and a piece of paper, you ought to pull it out. They have said in studies that the Sunday night crowd is the most spiritual crowd you can touch. They come back, and the reason they come back is because they want another encounter with God. And so I don't know whether or not God is going to use me and what way He's going to use me, but I will tonight give you the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to speak for itself. Stand to your feet. Locate the book of Exodus. Tonight I want you to meet me in this passage, just two verses tonight. On one side of this verse will be surviving. On the other side of the verse will be thriving. You will see it. It will just jump out of the text. Exodus is the book, chapter number 14, two verses, verse 13 and verse 14. Genesis. Exodus, skirk, chapter number 14, two verses. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Lord, I want to thrive and not survive. Say it with me. Lord, I want to thrive and not survive. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm. You will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need to be still." Be seated in the presence of the Lord. Travel with me. Travel with me just for a few minutes. Travel with me back in time. Travel with me back to Egypt. It is perhaps the most stressful time in the life of the Israelites. They're at one point that they have been in captivity. They have been in bondage. They have been in slavery. They have been surviving for 400 years. But God has a plan to get them from surviving to thriving. I don't have to ask you. You're like me. Many of us are surviving. Our pulse is beating. Our heart is beating. Our lungs are filled with air. But if you tapped us in the middle of the night, we will tell you there is another level that I wish God would allow me to go to. My health is not what it ought to be. My children are not what it ought to be. My finances are not what they ought to be. And Lord, if you would just take me to another level, if you will move me from surviving to thriving, God, I'll always give you the glory. See in this passage. I believe embedded in this passage are four keys that you and I need to have as we move from surviving to thriving. It is a time when God needs to work with his people just like this time right now. And God's going to show his hand. God's going to do the heavy lifting. Look at the passage. Use your senses for a moment. See the raging sea, the raging Red Sea right in front of them. Use your senses. Hear the horses. Hear the hoofs of thousands and thousands of horses racing toward them. Taste the dust that's in the air that the chariot wheels are spinning as they chase the Israelites. Smell the sweat from thousands upon thousands of angry, bereaved soldiers marching, recognizing that it was just a few nights ago that the death angel came through and killed their child, and so they have vengeance in their hearts. Now, see Moses? As he stands on behalf of God in front of God's people, moving from surviving to thriving, not know where they go. And hear God's message, first of all, a message that you and all I need to hear. The message is, do not be afraid. Interesting message. Interesting message that God says to his people. Can I suggest to you that as you and I move through life, as we go to the next level, you and I are going to be tested. You and I are going to be challenged. Everything is not going to be a day of roses. And so we need to recognize when we have encounters in life, especially when we're trying to move forward, especially when we're trying to get to the next level, that the devil isn't happy. That the devil would love to stop us. And so one of the ways he uses is he makes us afraid. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is meant for me. And so God, right in front of the people, say to the people through Moses, don't be afraid. Amen. In our days and times, there's so many things that make us afraid. Amen. Bankruptcy, terminations. Amen. Unemployment, death, divorces, unruly kids, cheating spouses, all those things just scare the living daylights out of us. And so we say to ourselves, I'm trying to be, God, I left Egypt, God, I'm trying to move. But in the midst of moving, somehow the devil just seems to knock on our door and tries his best to knock us off God. Sometimes it's waiting on the medical results and we're afraid. Sometimes it's waiting on a check to clear the bank and we're afraid. Sometimes it's waiting on a child to come back to their senses and we're afraid. Sometimes it's waiting on Mr. Right or Miss Right and we're afraid. We need a word from God. We need a word from God when, in fact, we lose our courage. Just like the children of Israel standing there recognizing that the sea is in front of them, we need a word of courage. I want to give you some words of courage. Guys, follow me with the screens. I'm at Isaiah 41 and 10 now. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going through a number of scriptures. Why don't you pin them down? Isaiah 41 and 10. Are you there? Yes. The very first verse I want you to record is, so do not fear. 41 and 10, guys. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's a powerful message from God. God says, wherever you are, whatever situations you encounter, don't fear. Why not fear? For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. Here's another one. Psalms 118, verse number 6. The Lord is with me. Somebody shout, the Lord is with me. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Here's another one. Proverbs 3:24. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Here's another one. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by my name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, they will not be burned. You will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Is that good? Over and over through the Bible, God says to his children, listen, don't be afraid. Here's another one. Matthew 10, verses 31, verses 30 and 31. And even the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be, help me, y'all. Don't be what? You are worth more than many sparrows. Another one, Luke 1, 30. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. 2 Timothy 1, 7, the Bible says, for the spirit God gave us did not make us timid, but gave us power, love, and self-discipline. So over and over and over and over and over and over and over, the God says, to, listen, when I move you from surviving to thriving, you're going to have some challenges, but don't be afraid. I know tonight as I stand here that there are some things going on in all of our lives that we say, God, would you help me with this? And I believe God says, I see you. You in my house. You're trying to be a child of God. I want to bless you. And so don't let fear overcome you. Very first thing Moses says to them as they're standing, not understanding what God is about to do, he says to them, don't be afraid. Somebody shout, don't be afraid. The very next thing he says is stand still. Look, don't miss the passage. Again, see the raging sea in front of them. Hear the horses hoof, taste the dust, smell the sweat. All of a sudden, you got to recognize this is a difficult time for the children of Israel. And Moses says something that's hard to receive. Moses says, just stand still. In a moment like that, we panic. In a moment like that, the tendency is to flee. In a moment like that, the tendency is to run. In a moment like that, the tendency is to weep. In a moment like that, the tendency is to have a mob scene where everybody's moving. But Moses stands in front of the people. Moses says, stand still. Perhaps tonight, if I got a chance to get close to you tonight. If I ask you what's going on in your life, perhaps your palms would start to sweat. Perhaps there would be some nervous anxiety. Perhaps there would be a tendency to say, you know what, I really don't want to talk about what's going on. I'd really rather disguise it. Moses, right in the middle of what's going on in their life, speaks for God and says, God says, stand still. What about where you are? So sometimes when we encounter difficulty, sometimes there is a tendency to run. Sometimes there's a tendency to say, you know what, I don't know whether God really wants me to have that. And so we put down our passion, we put down our desire, and all of a sudden we just seem to go back to surviving. Moses says, listen, it is a moment of truth, but during this moment of truth, what I want for you to do is just stand still. In fact, if you look at the facts are against the children of Israel. It is the greatest army on planet Earth, the Egyptian army, and they're ready to take their lives. The facts are the Red Sea, the raging Red Sea is in front of them. They've got women and children, and they don't know how they're going to cross the Red Sea. There is no boat. The sea is raging. And Moses says, stand still. If I ask you about the facts in your life, if I ask you what's going on, you'd say, preacher, you don't know how long I've been dealing with this. I've had this desire in my heart, but every time I get ready to step forward, there seems to be something in the way. Sometimes when we focus on the facts still our joy. It is a fact our children are in trouble. It is a fact our finances are in trouble. It is a fact that the older we get, finding Mr. Right or Miss Right becomes harder. It's a fact that we have health concerns as we get older. It's a fact that the devil wants to destroy us. But we got to choose whether or not we only want to hear the facts or we want facts and faith. Listen to what the Bible says about faith, about standing still. Romans 8:31, the Bible says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Here is another one. Psalms 46:10, the Bible says, be still. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Here's another one. You, dear friends, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. Here's another one. I love this one. 2 Timothy 1:12. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. How are we going to make it? How are we going to make it when it seems as if the boss wants to put us last on the list? How are we going to make it when there's more month than money? I'm going to walk by faith. God's children need to sometimes just stop and be still and recognize God's got it. And so the second thing Moses says is be still. And now listen to the third thing, all from those two verses. He says, see the deliverance. You will never see this problem again. They're standing there. They're still in the surviving mode. They don't understand what God is about to do. And so Moses says to them, what you need to do is don't be afraid. What you need to do is be still and open your eyes and see the deliverance that God is about to do. There are at least two types of sight. There's the natural sight, and then there's the spiritual sight. You know that, don't you? The natural sight, you could have 20/20 vision and still be blind. The natural sight, you could have just had your eyes tested and free from glaucoma and cataracts and still not be able to see what's staring you in the face. Natural vision, the sun could be shining brightly and you're still in the dark. I believe what God wants is God wants his children to have 20/20 vision naturally and 20/20 vision spiritually. God wants us to be able to see what he's doing in our lives. He wants us to be able to see his working in our life because it gives us strength. It gives us courage. It's like, you know what, God, I didn't expect for you to do that, but since you did it, I'm stronger. There's a passage. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13 through 17. The Bible talks about a situation that his servant sees and one servant doesn't see. In this particular passage, the Bible reads, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture him. Talking about Elisha. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early in the morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh, no, my Lord. What shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those that are with us are more than those that are with them. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. The Lord then opened his servant's eyes, and he looked around, and he saw hills full of horses and chariots all around Elisha. What a marvelous thought. Angels watching over me. Y'all know that song? All night. God's watching over his children. And sometimes what we need to see with the spiritual eyes, you know what? God's got this. I can use my ability at work. I can use my ingenuity to promote myself. But you know what? Sometimes when I relax and just look up, just like Elisha's servants, what I see is God is with me. You believe God is with you? Say amen. Amen. So he says, open his eyes so we can see. God wants us to see that he is with us. We're not alone no matter what. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Matthew 28, 20. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. For we walk by what, y'all? And not by sight. We need to have something inside of us as we go from surviving to thriving, knowing that God is with us. I'm not in this by myself. God is there. And then lastly, look at the fourth key. The fourth key. And I love this key. The Lord will fight this battle for you. Israelites, Israelites, instead of running, instead of hiding, instead of crying, instead of panicking, instead of just running away, what I need for you to do is just hear me. Don't be afraid. What I need you to do is hear me. Just be still. What I need you to do is hear me. You're about to see deliverance. And then Moses says, the Lord's going to fight this battle. What if we walked away tonight with the attitude that whatever is going on in my life, I'm not going to be afraid? What if we walked away tonight with the attitude that whatever's in my life, I am not going to have a nervous breakdown. I am not going to fall apart. I'm just going to be still. What if we walked away tonight saying, you know what? I know that God is about to deliver me. I have been trusting him. I've been leaning on him. And all of a sudden we recognize, you know what? This battle is not about me in the first place. It's about God. In the family where I grew up, I had no brothers. I lived in a neighborhood where I needed a brother. In fact, there was a street bully. Y'all have any street bullies where y'all grew up? At? Bullies at school? And sometimes as I stop and think about it, I recognize that those bullies were real. But if I got a good punch in, or if I had my PF flyers on, But now my bullies are bigger than those bullies. I got health bullies. Bullies. Heart disease. Bullies. Health challenges. Things that seem to me to be bigger than the bullies I fought. I got financial bullies. Bad credit. Credit collectors. And so if ever I needed a big brother, if ever I needed someone to fight the battle, I need God now. Anybody else need God now? Those bullies, when we were kids, they scared us, they took our joy, but somehow God brought us through it. And today, as we are adults, the bullies are bigger. Arthritis, sugar diabetes, all kind of bullies. Sometimes the bullies are in our heads. We can't sleep at night. Sometimes the bullies are real, they're at church. They're at work, they're at home. Bullies everywhere. And I want to suggest today that God is still in the business of fighting our battles. There's a passage, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 10 through 12. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt, so they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes on you. And so we have the situation. We have the problem. And so tonight we all have the situation. We have the problem. But listen to the answer that comes back from God. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 15 through 17. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jerul. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm,
and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you.
I know. Tomorrow's Monday. Another week. This is the month of April. Somebody says, oh, taxes. And so we all have things that are in front of us. Maybe tonight what God wants those who came back to hear, whatever it is, don't be afraid of it. Whatever it is, just be still. Whatever it is, you just see the deliverance, because God's going to fight this battle. I'm telling you, God is in the business of fighting battles. Ask David. Young David, as he stood there next to Goliath, he recognized the battle belongs to God. Ask the three Hebrew boys after Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the fiery furnace. I would tell you tonight that they would stand firmly and say, the battle is the Lord's. Ask Mary and Martha standing beside the tomb of Lazarus and hearing Jesus say, Lazarus, come forth. They would say, the battle is the Lord's. Ask blind Bartimaeus on the road to Jericho. Blind Bartimaeus would say, the battle is the Lord's. And so tonight, recognize God is still in the business of taking care of his own. I suggest to you tonight that we could be stronger because we know that the God of the Israelites is our God. And he will deliver us just like he delivered them. God bless you tonight. Do you receive that tonight? Yes. Stand on your feet tonight. I want to suggest tonight that, yes, God does fight our battles. God does work in our behalf. But we have to comply with his will. He has parameters in which he works. The Bible says he doesn't hear a sinner's prayer. Tonight, I want to ask you, where are you in your relationship with God? We all want God's blessing. We all want to move from surviving to thriving. But the question tonight is, where are you in your relationship with Jesus? Some people have not accepted Jesus as the Lord of their life. Some people have not made the noble confession, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Some people have postponed the idea of going down in the watery grave of baptism. But can you hear me say tonight, until you go down in the watery grave of baptism and come up a new creature in Christ, you're at a disadvantage. You need Jesus as the Lord of your life. Tonight, if you've strayed away from God, you walked away from God, you've been trying to do it all by yourself. Tonight, I believe God called you here tonight because God wanted to remind you, he'll fight your battles. He'll deliver you. You don't even have to be afraid. You just be still and watch God do it. He'll do all the heavy lifting, but stay plugged into him. You need to come and rededicate your life. You need to come and ask for prayer. The shepherds are here. The minister of this fine congregation is here. You need to come. Why don't you come right now as we sing the song of invitation?
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart, be saved. Oh, tonight, oh.